of Jesse. Now, you got to go a long way deep into the heart of the Old Testament to figure out what that is all about. First, you got to know who Jesse is and his connection to David, and then to the prophet Isaiah and the prophecy that's being brought forth of Jesus Christ. It's the third of the O Antiphons of Advent. We continue in this half hour our daily series with Pastor Will Whedon on the O Antiphons of Advent. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Greetings and welcome.
Thank you.
You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, this one is perhaps the most obscure all of the old O Antiphons. Set this one in the context of what we've talked about so far. O Wisdom, O Lord, now O Root of Jesse.
We said the history is progressing. And so we're moving up to the covenant with David, and God had made David a promise that from his offspring there's going to come this one who is going to be the promised one. I mean, all along you get the promise of the one who would bring blessing to all people through Abraham. I mean, that just keeps on getting narrowed down until you get to the house of David, and God says it's going to be from your house. And he says, I'm going to have that one's going to have a kingdom. It's never going to end. He's going to have an everlasting kingdom. I'm going to build you a house that will never be destroyed, when David wanted to build a house for God. And this picture of David becomes as king. Sometimes even the prophecy is made that David will be the one who will do this. In other words, David's son, the one who would descend from David. And of all the prophets who pick this up, Isaiah is one of the chief prophets who picks up this idea of it's going to be from David's house that salvation is going to come for all of the world, as well as for Israel. But Isaiah is huge on not just for Israel, but for all people. A big thought there.
Okay, before we get into the text of this O Antiphon, O Root of Jesse, you wanted to talk a little bit about the gifts that were traditionally given during these days leading up to the celebration of Christ's birth during Advent.
Yeah, the certain monasteries had the really cool custom that, each of these days, the antiphon to sing, would be assigned to sing to a certain person in the monastic community who most matched it. For example, on O Wisdom, the first day, it was the librarian, the man who was in charge of the library at the monastery. He got to sing O Wisdom. And on that day, he would have a little gift, something related to a wisdom to impart to the brothers, something written out probably for them. So on this day, what do you think? Root of Jesse. It was the gardener's day. Where the head gardener would have a little gift to give to the brothers. Next one is, Clavis David, the key of David. This was the gift, another Isaiah passage, but that's the gift of the porter, the one who had the keys. So as you work your way through it, each one had their own sort of special thing, and it was only the abbot, the head of the monastery, who got to intone on the last day, O Emmanuel, and then to give out his gifts as well.
Read the actual text of this antiphon, O Root of Jesse, for us.
O Root of Jesse, standing as an ensign before the peoples, before whom all kings are mute, to whom the nations will do homage, come quickly to deliver us.
Now, take us to the passage wherein the image of Jesse's root, or the root of Jesse, is found, and many people think about a branch of Jesse, something growing out of Jesse's household, but this is root of Jesse. Make the connection there for us, if you will.
Isaiah actually makes the connection, and it is interesting to think about. One of the things that you got to bear in mind is Isaiah is prophesying about a time when the kings will be cut. I mean, when the kingdom will be destroyed, and he talks about how, God's going to chop down the tree, if you will, the tree of Jesse. So out from the roots of Jesse, you're going to have a branch flower. And this branch will be the one who will bear the promised blessing. This is Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah prophesies, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, from Jesse's cut down, Jesse, the father of David, from the cut down house, there will come forth a shoot, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. the sevenfold Spirit of God, if you will, resting upon the promised one. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Basically, you know, talking about an Eden restored. And then they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as an ensign or a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, come to ask, and his resting place shall be glorious. So he uses both terms, the branch that comes out of the stump of Jesse and the root, the source from which Jesse himself came. He is both. He is both David's son and David's Lord, well, as Jesus would later throw that mystery out.
That's exactly the passage that was occurring to me at the time, because this is the one from whence the promise comes, and it is the one who fulfills the promise.
The Alpha and the Omega. He's on either end of it.
Yeah, it's the one who makes David king and anoints him king. It is the one anointed as David's son to be king. I mean, you almost start thinking in terms of how can this be that he is both branch and root of Jesse.
That he, you know, there is no answer to that except to say the one born of the Virgin is the eternal Lord.
Is this why some of the gospel writers are at pains to show us the Davidic connection?
Yes.
To Jesus himself?
Yes. I mean, the Davidic promise is simply huge and one of the most important. Well, I mean, after the prophecy in Moses, that there will arise one who will be a prophet like me among your brothers. You must listen to him. You know, the next big real development in the story does not happen until David, when God, again, chooses a family, narrows it down. This is the one. This is the family through whom the kingship will come. And it's going to be an eternal, everlasting kingdom, because the king who is over it is an eternal, everlasting king. He has a life that was before time began, and he has a life that never can be destroyed.
But it's also perhaps worth noting, with the tone on the incarnation, that this is a branch that grows. This isn't a separate tree. This is a branch that grows out of the cut down stump of Jesse's house. It is a new beginning to the tree, and it's made of wood. It's actually tree. It's
tree.
Not just it's not some sort of idea.
It's not pretend. Yeah, it's definitely, and you know, that's the whole point of the huge long listing of the genealogies, both in Matthew and in Luke. I mean, Matthew's a special burden is to connect him to Abraham and to David. And so the way that they're listed out, that's really some two very clear divisions in the genealogy. He's saying this one came, the Savior came literally from the house of David. He is the fulfillment of the promise to David. And since the genealogies diverge, the church has always understood the one to be of Joseph, the other to be of Mary. Thus, either by legal right or by physical descent, either way, he ends up being the one promised to David.
With only about a minute here, the phrase that stands out in this O Antiphon is, before whom all kings are mute.
Yeah.
What is the image here for us? We've got about a minute before we take our break.
You think about the pomposity of earthly kings, and you think about how this king will reveal his kingship, crowned with thorns, throned by being nailed to a tree, and how that image literally did capture the hearts of kings. It said, you know, when the gospel is read, that the kings take off their crowns in acknowledgement of this king. We are silent before what he has done for us. It is a shocking thing, and it totally blows out of the water all of our ideas of what power is, of what might is. We said at the beginning, he is the wisdom, and the wisdom is going to reorder how we think about everything. If I can think of just one king who really fits it, think about Louis, I think, oh gosh, I'll never get the number right. Is it the 14th? He's the guy that said, St. Louis, the one who from whom the city is named. When he said, I think much more of the place where I was baptized than of the place where I was crowned. Because when I was baptized, I was given a kingdom that will never be taken away from me. The kingdom that I have is king of France. It's going to be taken away from me when I die. But this is a kingdom that I'll never lose.
That's amazing. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We're talking about O Root of Jesse, the third of the O Antiphons of Advent. When we come back, more of this conversation. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and we're talking about the third of the O Antiphons of Advent, O Root of Jesse, these ancient hymns of the church by which the church marks the time of Advent. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. O Root of Jesse, one of the lines in this antiphon is, before whom all nations will do homage. Is this just the ordinary kind of honor shown to dignitaries, presidents, kings, or is there something more to it, Pastor Wheaton?
Yeah, there's definitely something more. This is the nations coming to worship this root of Jesse. He will be the object of their veneration. And boy, does that shine for us in Matthew 2 when we think of the visit of the Magi. These words, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, magi, sometimes called in the church the kings, came from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, or we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him. And then we see when they actually enter into the house, what they do, going into the house, verse 11, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They did their homage. They're the start of the nations falling down to worship before him. You have to think about what it was like, a world that was permeated by idolatry. Everywhere you looked, it was nothing but idolatry. And along comes this human being who is truly, truly, fully human being, and yet obviously so much more, God himself in the flesh. And how the worship, his worship literally totters idolatry across the face of the world. And people come to worship and adore him. And there's a great, great hymn that that celebrates this as well, a Christmas hymn, which I will have to think of as I'm going on here to talk. I'll see if I can find it because I want to get to it.
Well, I'm struck by the fact that in that account from Matthew's gospel that you talked about, Matthew presents it so matter-of-factly.
Yes.
That these kings, whatever they may be, wise men, magi from the east, come, obviously, are of sufficient social standing to get an audience with Herod's men, perhaps with Herod himself.
Right.
And so they're no mean, these aren't just visitors. But when they enter the house, a peasant's house, with a young mother and an ordinary baby or toddler, this is more than you would do with any earthly king, period, to fall down, to
prostrate yourself,
yes,
in front of him.
And yeah, to present these gifts, but to worship, he says, worship.
To worship him, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
just struck by this. This is, I could see them saying, remarkable child, he will soon grow into a fine man.
Make or sure isn't he cute?
Yeah. Make sure he gets a good education. He's got a tough task ahead of him, but their first response is worship.
Is worship. They fall down and worship. And yeah, the hymn I was thinking of is by St. Germanus, A Great and Mighty Wonder. And listen to the words of this. I mean, this is absolutely right on with this entire antiphon. A great and mighty wonder, a full and holy cure, the Virgin bears the infant with virgin honor pure. The Word becomes incarnate and yet remains on high, and cherubim sing anthems to shepherds from the sky. While thus they sing your monarch, these bright angelic bands, rejoice, O vales and mountains, and oceans clap your hands. Listen to this. Since all he comes to ransom, by all be he adored. the infant born in Bethlehem, the Savior and the Lord, all idols then shall perish, and Satan's lying cease, and Christ shall raise his scepter, decreeing endless peace. You see that, you know, the child comes to set us free from our idolatry, which is this, you know, trying to squeeze life out of the stuff of this creation, where it's just not to be found. And Christ comes to give us this gift of a life that never ends, in our own flesh and blood. You know, he comes to us. And when we see that, we can only fall down before that flesh and blood and do homage and worship in our churches. This happens every week. It's one of the most amazing miracles. You know, the pastors come forward with the body and blood of Christ and bearing them in their hands. And what do the people do? They get down on their knees. In most of our churches, they get down on their knees before this king who comes to them. The same as the wise men got down on their knees. And they open their mouths and let salvation be put into them.
I'm also thinking about Philippians chapter 2.
Yeah.
That ends with every knee bowing, every tongue confessing in heaven, on earth, under the earth. Mm-hmm. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A hint of the O Adonai that we did last time. But also this notion that at the consummation of all things, there will not be a being ever created at that moment that will not acknowledge either as enemy or as friend.
But they will confess.
They will confess it one way or the other.
Yes. Yeah. And they will do so on bended knee.
The picture that's painted in the book of Corinthians, where that again is talking about the consummation after Christ's return, it says, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to his Father, and after he's put all things under his feet, and then he'd be exempt the Father from being under his feet, he will then submit himself to the Father in obedience for all eternity. This picture that Jesus consummates this entire saving act in all of human history by eternally subjecting himself to the Father. Then it says, God will be all in all. What's being said there?
My goodness, that's another mystery before whom we bow in worship. Yeah, the Lord Jesus at the consummation makes a gift to his Father of his people. And in that, you know, literally submits himself. That shows that the Son is not, I mean, we're not trying to say that the Son is in any way inferior to the Father, and you know, but he does, in fact, as true human being, fulfills all humanity by submitting himself to the Father's will. This is the ultimate goal of God, is that he might be our all in all. God, the way that St. John Chrysostom once put it, he says, you know, he has done all things for us, and he is grateful when we receive it. You know, God is grateful when we receive this all that he has done. And when he becomes all in all for us, he will be our peace. He will be our joy. He will be our light. He will be our life. This is the consummation for which Christ did what he did upon the cross, so that this could be our future. It's a gift beyond words.
There's another hymn that's far more contemporary that we sing. I think it still found its way into the latest hymnal among Lutherans, Thine the Amen.
Yeah.
That ends with only thee,
only thee. Only thee, only thee, only thee. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? It's like, you know, at the end, where God will be our all, and he will be in us all, and we will find our life fully in him. It's the completion of the act that began in the incarnation, where human flesh was taken up into Godhead. In this way, all of humanity will be taken up into God, given his life as our life. You know, or to use another metaphor from Scripture, you know, where you will be truly a sister and brother of the Son of God, seated with him in his Father's house at his table, where you're going to be a member of the family of God forever. That's the exact same picture.
Let's listen again to this third of the O Antiphons of Advent, O Root of Jesse.
Yeah.
With a minute, Will, your final thoughts on this third of the O antiphons, O Root of Jesse.
Because it, as we noted at the beginning, it's such an oxymoron in a way to speak of the root of Jesse and yet be looking at the branch of Jesse's stem. It holds before us this God to whom we are called to worship. And we recognize that the fullness of our life in Christ is found in falling down before him and receiving from him the gifts he comes to give, to give him undying praise for the undying life which he bestows on us.
And next time, O Key of David, what will we be talking about?
Oh, about opening and closing and about the door that God has into the kingdom. Jesus sets before us an open door which we can rejoice in.
Actually, next time, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I love it.
The door that no man can shut, or if he opens it, no man can shut it. If he closes it, no man can open it. We'll talk about that next time with Pastor Will Wheaton, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Thank you again for being our guest.
Thank you.
Think about that picture that is painted for us by St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, where at the end, Christ delivers the kingdom to his Father after all enemies have been put under his feet. So where do his friends go? If his enemies belong under his feet, subjected to him, principalities, powers, whatever they may be, kings, rulers, where do we belong in that picture? It's obvious that God the Father is there on his throne. Christ submits himself to the Father eternally, not as an inferior, but as the obedient Son. And his obedience is all for our sake. Where do we fit in that picture? Well, I can tell you, on that day, when we are looking for our place, Christ will say, "Here, take mine." That's where we belong. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.